Hill.
Okay, we have just dropped the line at Planet Radio WBCQ, so all those of you listening on shortwave and not hearing a fucking word I'm saying right now, you're probably hearing, and now, Amos, oh no, that's right, it's not Amos and Andy. It's my webmaster.
It's Larry, yeah.
Live on the air right now, and here I am offering this infernal competition. Not that I mean to, I never think about that, the fact that I should, like, just get the fuck out of here so I don't steal even, you know, three of his listeners, because, you know, he's doing something that's actually worthy of listening to. Unfortunately, he's in the sad position of having to do it right after my brilliant stint here at Planet Radio WBCQ, and still, even right now, continuing at johnlightning.com.
Gee, maybe I should disable the Lost Discs server, because they're in competition with me on Saturday.
What is this? What are you talking about?
No, the oldie show that's on BCQ. They're in competition with me on Saturday.
Who does the oldie show on WBCQ?
These guys from Connecticut. Three guys, actually.
I just wanted to say, I haven't heard what they're doing there. And I wonder, you know, because I'm so anal even about music shows of being relatively structured and the right jingles and a certain tightness, conforming to certain radio rules, which I do believe are important, are integral to a show that sounds good. And yes, a certain slickness and professionalism is required. Not to get to the point where it sounds downright fucking robotic, but you need that. You have to have that in the course of a show. And I like that. And a lot of oldies shows are just like so laid back that they do not hold my interest. There's nothing between the music that makes me want to stick around awaiting the next song in hopes that the next song would be something I really want to hear, or something I've never heard before that's so rare, obscure, and good that I want to hear it.
Well, I guess you probably not. You know, I don't play the jingles that often.
You got a relatively decent amount there.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I don't want to overuse them, for one. And second, a lot of times you need transitions, or I'm playing something blind that I've never played before. I don't know whether it's up-tempo, down-tempo. Because a lot of times when it comes to the obscure stuff, you know, you download something, you don't have a chance to hear it, and you say, well, let's just try and listen to this one, folks.
Right, but you can go with a basic a cappella or a Sonovox,
Solid Gold,
or something like that, and zip right into it.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people listen to the collector's type of material that I do don't appreciate those jingles. I talk up a lot of the records.
See, I don't see how, because most people who grew up with that music also grew up with jingles like this one.
Won't you stick around and hear the golden oldies sound? John Lightning, 11 LRNI.
So how could they not appreciate that? That jingle, of course, being an example of one that you would use into something up-tempo.
Yeah, but you see, I don't want to overuse it. I got 4 hours to do. So I'm not going to wind up using all my jingles once. I'll stretch them out. I'll use maybe about 3 or 4 an hour, plus I'll use some vocal transitions.
Let's stretch those jingles out.
No, I got some oral transitions, you know, you're listening to, you said your bit, Radio Is Fun Again with Big Steve Cola. Of course, I cut off the part about WBCQ. We're using that as a transition. All right, using that as a transition. I use another one that forgot the guy does my announcing. He made for me, you know, a few of those things. And every once in a while, I played something the other night where I used the ABC. Remember, you know, and had the callers ABC.
This solid gold one.
Right.
We got 900 variations on that one.
Yeah, but I played the standard one that ABC used to play. Then the Despond came out with the WABC clang, you know, have one
why
of those.
Why would you do that?
It was like it was on ABC, you know, I came out with that one.
Yeah, but why would you use the ABC one? I mean, you've got a chime. You got one of those jingles, don't you? Do I have to supply you with one?
No, it's Wonderful RNI, but you see, my show isn't technically on RNI, so we know it's on the cafe. So
that's true.
Yeah, so that's why I won't use it. I think I just put the RNI jingles on the old soft drives. Everything's now on the memory chip. It's not on the drive anymore.
Memory chips? How's that working?
That jump drive I gave you. We used that one. Matter of fact, you just used two of the jingles I brought over that time from that drive. You used the Kajing Tonight from Law & Order, and that was Kathleen Turner when you closed off. Those are two I brought over, I think.
You might have. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But that little jump drive, I put all my little jingles on there, plug in the back of the laptop, and so I don't have to wait for the hard drive across the network to speed up again.
Learning all about radio, production and production values.
Yeah.
This is the A Little Bit of Everything Radio Seminar. If you'd like to ask your radio professionals a question about the production side of radio, please give us a call right now at 718-425-9734. That's 516-975-7797. One more time, area code 304-289-5957. I love to do that, and I don't know why. For years, since our pirate days, I think we've been doing that.
I'll give you a number that they can call. They want a radio production.
I'll give them the number for Cablevision, and then they can go on. then they can suffer through this. When you clicks through in Espanol, but to continue in English, press 1. No, if I want to go to Spanish, press 1. All right. As soon as it starts, I'm hitting the 1, but it won't go through yet. It has to finish playing that before the 1 works. Then it goes through the usual. Now, all calls may be monitored, recorded, and screened. To make your service suck even more. Yeah, sure. How the hell is that going to happen? Then you go through the essenceless menus. And they always have the extra shit in there that you don't care about at all. Now, I'm waiting to get through to these people. I'm angry, right? So I guess that's why they do it.
If you were calling to find out more information about this week's boxing match between Jose whoever and Hector whoever, and I'm like, press 1. If you were calling to subscribe to our new high definition, press 2. If you were calling about a billing issue,
finally,
if you were calling about a problem with your internet service, press 47.
Because at that point, you sat through so much of this shit, and then you press 47, and then there's a sub-menu.
If you're calling about no internet service, if you're calling about a speed issue, ah!
I know.
Drive, you fucking... I got so crazy. The last person I spoke to, not only did they send down a technician, but along with him, they sent down a guy to help me out with anger management.
I thought it would be a guy in a straitjacket.
That's next.
I was going to say, to make it real, real simple, he wanted this tirade. We give him Hank and Jim's number. They'll give you radio production information.
Why would you want to do that to those poor guys?
Because they don't answer the phone unless they're on the air. So in other words, it all goes on the answer sheet.
Well, that's
anyway.
The way it should be. And when they're on the air, needless to say, they probably consider a lot of their phone calls infernal interruptions, just as I do, because we now share too much of the same audience for their liking, I'm sure, because they have to put up with some of the sniveling schnooks and schmucks and schlubs that keep calling in here and making my life frustratingly miserable.
No, like the last time I called in,
there you go, the schnooks, schlubs, and schmucks.
This
one is a big schnook and schlub and
schmuck. I'm talking to Hank, and we're just going on and on and on in the conversation like we're doing here. That's how it was working.
Well, that had to be terminally boring radio. What are you doing to those guys' show? They do a good show when you're not there interrupting. God almighty. Why are you playing terrorists and messing up their show?
I'm not messing up their show. See, you don't listen to their shows. You don't know the what goes on. You know what they're still doing, the same thing. But you don't know what they're doing with their callers.
What do you mean the same thing?
The same thing they've done for years is the same shtick that they've been doing.
Right, and it's been successful and entertaining for years.
Yes, and
maybe that's one of the reasons why I don't listen that often, because I've heard it, and when I do hear it, I enjoy it again because it's great stuff and it's entertaining.
But I
don't need to hear it regularly unless like anything else, you're changing up or maybe you're talking a little more or you're playing music that's a little more obscure. The guys are pretty settled in their work and it's remarkable. Good, and what amazes me is the consistency that they've been able to maintain all these years.
Yes, it's
something
great.
That I would kill to do, because some weeks I'm just like hardly here.
And the thing is that that they both have health problems and they're still doing the show that's up this caliber, even though they're all suffering. From whatever diseases I can't mention.
And that's why I say, regardless of those people that say, "Well, you're not doing this for a." for a commercial station and you're not getting a paycheck for this, you're not a professional, fuck you, anybody that has that to say. You'll find few people in the business collecting paychecks that do radio with the same degree of professionalism and the same degree of dedication that those of us here at Radio New York International do it, period.
You know, yeah, but you didn't.
And you do here and, of course, at the Oldies Cafe.
Yeah, but the show has a new dimension, the Hank and Jim Show, now that they've added the webcam. I mean, you can see
yeah, but see to me, I'm just going to intro for a moment. See to me that, but that has nothing to fuck to do with radio. No, I'm sorry, nothing to do. The same way I feel about chat rooms, and then people start chatting each other in chat rooms,
yeah,
and the show becomes background.
You see, but they can do one of their running jokes about the Chinese cigarette 555 cigarettes, and actually hold a pack up to the camera to make the fun. It's not just that they come out with a bit out of thin air. They've actually got a product to show you up there on the camera that they're really.
Right.
Well,
then
parody,
do a TV,
you know?
Show. I mean, I don't know. I'm just a little old-fashioned. I mean, a lot of people have had and still have webcams, and I often find them interesting to watch. I do indeed. But I couldn't imagine, and I just can't imagine doing that here. First of all, it would take a multi-camera setup the way we do it here. And I have said, should we be unfortunate enough to make it to a 10th anniversary show, which means at least another 2+ years of this, I am going to hire, rent out whatever equipment it takes, and then we'll do a 3-way setup here, or a 4-way setup if it's necessary, and we'll do a special webcam-y thing. So, talk about giving them something to look forward to, maybe.
But I'm going to tell you something. The way these guys work, I mean, there's Jim. He's at the board. He's got the main mic on, and behind him is the couch, and Hank's on the couch, or Tommy Edison's on the couch, and they're talking without looking.
Who's the shrink that's talking
No, because there's only one chair for the board, and so somebody's sitting back at the couch, and Will Powers back there, and they're on the air, and they're not even looking at each other, just bantering back and forth like they work actually in a conversation like you are, facing each other. You know, they're just
But
so,
this conversation's going out over the air, right?
It's going out over the air.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, that's it. They've got their shtick and their bits down so much, and they're honed so well to do this stuff, you know? So I'm saying, you know, you've got to try it 1 week. Just pop up their site. The webcam's there. You don't even have to click a button on it if you just want to watch. If you want to participate, there's a little plus sign. It tells you how to do it.
You know me. I'm very much in the background. My days of it. Yeah. You know, I don't call radio stations. I don't participate. It's not a, you know, I'm a big deal or my ego kind of thing. It really comes down to I concentrate on my show. I leave everybody else to do theirs without my infernal interference what might even be at times a reasonable input. But I strictly focus on my show. I've got 3 hours of airtime every week to abuse as I see fit. There's no reason for me to co-opt anybody else's airtime.
No, sometimes I send them stuff, and sometimes they send me stuff, so, you know.
Well, you're a radio whore as much as the next one. You know, you're the Ivan Jeffries of this outfit here.
Ivan's in the chat room, too.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Ivan Jeffries, of course, for those of you that don't know the name, an original member of WJPL-FM back in our pirate days when I made the significant error of allowing him to come down here and participate in our little pirating endeavor, which led him to hook up with Alan H. Weiner and assist Alan H. Weiner on the Sarah, the original pirate ship of original Formula Radio New York International, from which him and Mr. Weiner got taken into custody and all got their 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Which I'm still waiting for. 15 minutes of fame some fucking where, please, without it meaning that I have to kill or injure somebody.
No, you and Gymnasium are alike. He hardly looks at the chat room. He looks at it once in a while.
Right.
You know, and he'll be the first to grab his bottle of pills and show it to the camera. You know, he'll have fun with the camera, but, you know, he doesn't take the input.
To me, it's an impediment. It really is. To be looking at a chat room, I would lose focus on what I'm doing here. And as for the most part, I'm doing engineering. I'm going through files. I'm making, you know, snap decisions from moment to moment on how to segue features, what to discuss. You know, there's no time for me to focus on a chat room. No, let's do something else we used to do here, which is when I used to say, send email, and we do the email features during the show, which I ended up deciding was really slowing the fuck down the show. Not to mention, a lot of them were just plain boring. I remember at a point a couple of years back when you were handling the email chores, you know, you were printing out the emails as they were coming in and bringing them over to me, and I'd be looking at them and saying, God, it's another email that sucks. You know? Why do I want to read this stuff? Some of them, you know, some of them did be a couple of lines here and there that you'd want to deal with. But once again, who's got the time when you're live on the air to be editing live? So it just didn't work, and that's why I kept doing it.
You know how many I didn't print because it was garbage?
Thankfully.
You know?
But at least 50% of the ones you did print were garbage.
You know, and there are... You know, you're not responding. You know, I'm taking care of all that spam at your website, you know, to the comments to your blog.
Wish.
Yeah. But there are three ones which are legitimate, but they're inane, you know, comments. And
well, they're all listeners. What do you expect?
Sean from Astoria has two questions on there. And then somebody asked a question about, are we shills in here? You know, is this all planned, all the conversations that we have? Mm-hmm. And I said,
somebody actually asked that question?
Yeah,
and how did you respond?
I didn't respond. Oh, okay. It's addressed to you because I could email a response,
okay,
but I didn't want
you. Let me respond.
Regarding
your comments about whether or not everything here is scripted. We don't use scripting at all. Let's see. Tonight I made it to page 8 of this particular series of notes and comments. I have 5 pages of what I call the COT, the Comedy on Tap. It's a long story that would frankly bore you as much as me about how it got that name, or the bits that either come from the service, the ones I write and the ones I rewrite. They all go in the COT. The endless newspaper articles I clip, 75% of which we generally don't get to, and a whole file folder full of stuff I could talk about if I had like 3 hours every day, then I would get to most all of it.
It's true.
But we don't.
Yeah.
So there you are. Michael, I'm sure there's something on your mind this week
that
you wanted to share with the audience.
In
this extra time every week,
actually,
you never have a fucking thing to say.
Going back to the guitar break stuff,
mm-hmm.
I'm surprised.
You got one for us?
Well, I was thinking, of all the groups, you didn't mention Steely Dan anywhere in there. And I think some of their guitar breaks are like wonderful to listen to.
Oh, some of the best ever, particularly Katie Lloyd album, my personal favorite. Although one of the all-time classic breaks is in Reeling in the Years. I think that was, what's his name now? It wasn't just Skunk Baxter on that one. Oh, damn it. Who does the break? Elliot Randall. That is an all-time break. But you see, there are some breaks that are so fucking overplayed, but it's still a great break.
I like, and I'm not sucking up to you by saying this, I like Chained Lightning.
And that is one of my favorites.
Great song
on Katie Lloyd. Now see that's a great guitar. That album, that CD is loaded with great guitar breaks. Yet people always refer to that as like the piano and horn album, and it has some of the best piano playing. And it's got particularly on Dr. Wu, one of the all time great fucking sax breaks ever. By the way, if you're listening out there and you found anything in the course of the show this evening that I played musically of interest to you, and you take recommendations from people who you feel you might have a taste affinity with, if you do not own a copy of Steely Dan's Katie Lloyd, go out and buy it. And I am right now issuing my John P. Lightning money-back guarantee. All right? I'm going to go that far. If you purchase a copy of Steely Dan's Katie Lloyd, you buy that CD, and you're not absolutely thrilled to death, tickled pink, pleased as punch, with the listening pleasure that it should impart to you. If, for whatever reason, it doesn't hit you and you don't like it, send it to yours truly, John P. Lightning, and just try to get your money back. Okay? Because I think that's one of the greatest 10-star CDs. It's on my very short list of 10-star CDs. And if you don't like it, send it to me. By all means, I could always use an extra copy. Keep one at the office. Mm-hmm. Anything else there, Pally? Otherwise, I'm going to get out of here I can throw you all out of here and watch the last episode of The Sopranos before I go to bed.
And thank you for the CD, by the way.
All right, so you got them both, I hope.
Yes,
right?
And
okay.
The DVD, yes. Thanks for both of them.
Yes. Okay.
We deliver.
Yeah. there's one thing, you know, you played that commercial about the fro, the white people with the fro.
And Frogaine.
Frogaine, right.
That was an old, I forget who was the RCN. Another one of those comedy networks that went under about 10 years ago.
Yeah, but that Frogaine thing, Arlene used to always tell me, you see a Jewish person, they have the with that hair, it's mm-hmm. called the Jewish Afro. Because it seems to grow natural. That's why I was saying, oh yeah, white person. They must be. I was going to come out with a line with, oh yeah, white person with a fro. What do you call them? A Jew. You know, I was going to do that. But of course,
ladies and gentlemen, the wit and the wisdom that has made the big guy the comedic bomb.
But I'm saying without that background,
you haven't
story.
Done a good routine since Mr. Rubber, and that must be 15 to 18 yes. years ago. Is it real? When did you first come down to this facility back in the day when we were Pirate Radio Station WJBL FM?
Had to be 89 or something.
It was
like
that late
yeah,
that you came down
yeah,
here.
I think
God,
so.
No, couldn't have been. We were done with this by 89.
Wait. See,
God's sakes, it had to be more like 86. I would guess.
I'm trying to remember.
89, 89. R&I was already on the air and off the boat. What are you talking about?
No, it had to be. No, wait, because I'm trying to pace it. Because I'm trying to put the set markers, like when my father died in 1988. I'm saying this is before or after. You see, that's what I'm trying to say. It had to be.
What was the last year we broadcast as a pirate? Was that 87, I believe? I don't know.
No,
could you imagine that? I can't even remember the year in which my station got busted when the FCC came down here and did their little, you know, raided the joint.
Yeah. I found some off-the-air air checks from R&I. But, you know, it's...
From which R&I? From R&I or the ship R&I?
From the R&I, the WWCR.
Yeah, somebody called me about 2 months ago, that of course I never got back to, tell me that he had like a box of off-the-air, real recordings at R&I, and I thought to myself, great, just what I need. You know, sit down and, you know, and hear Pirate Joe or... my dear friends, this is Alan H. Weiner. You know, I've got Somanex if I want to sleep.
I wish I could find some of the masters of the recordings we played. Like, I came across one on VHS.
I've got some of them.
No, it was on VHS, and there I am.
Oh, no, don't Hank and Jim still have those? They should have those.
What's that?
Some of them.
Not those original.
A lot of... inside information. A lot of the original programming that was broadcast on the pirate ship over the period of the almost 3 days that it was on here was actually all pre-recorded on dry land on VHS tapes.
Yeah. No, I found the VHS air checks that I made from CR, and there's me doing a tribute to D. Clark, who had just passed away. And I said, where's the master tape for that? I'd love to dig that out and play that.
Well, there's so many.
Oh, that was on a real.
We here, of course, at the facility have primarily all on open reels, our recordings of virtually every hour of Pirate Radio WJPL-FM we did out of this location. And I look forward to like pulling them out maybe twice a year. I just don't have the time to ever listen to this massive storehouse. And as people say, wow, there was so much great stuff you guys did. And indeed, you know, basically timeless great stuff regarding shtick and music. But there's no time for me to ever go through that.
Yeah. Well, I was doing something today. We have that. There was a network I'm associated with. I called iWeb Radio, and this girl Jen is still on there doing the show. So I'm in the chat room all day.
iWeb, were you listening to it on Heather's iPod? IHOP?
Yeah. So we were doing. I'm in the chat room, and we start talking. And I'm start sending URLs of certain pictures on my website that people look. And I said, wait a minute, I haven't got a picture of Jen. I grabbed a video tape that we made when she was over in 2004. And I put that up, and I actually ran it on the webcam for the people to watch. And she got a kick out of it. And I'm listening to the show for the first time since 2004. Right. And I'm saying she brought none of her material, and we pulled from my collection a good show. I mean, we were playing stuff that I did, you know, that I normally wouldn't play, like Frigid Pink. You know, we're playing the Blues Project.
I have to go back if I can get. I'm gonna have to buy one more reel-to-reel machine that works. So I don't have to go over there and use the real good Revox. I'm gonna get a reel-to-reel machine over here to replace this one that works good on both channels, unlike the one behind me. And we're gonna do a new feature. a flashback where I just, at random, cue up a reel, fast forward it to a point, hit it, and see what happens, and flash people back to JPLFM. Do you think that might be, you know, like at all usable? And it would, of course, sounds particularly come in handy in the post-show gig there. We can play some of that stuff. What do you think, Michael?
I think it sounds like an interesting idea.
Right?
It's worth a shot.
Interesting. What do you think there, big guy?
I say you're going to go to a random point, and you might find yourself in the middle of a bit and say, oh, no, we've got to go all the way back to
the
beginning.
Right, but the problem is I have no time. Because if I start really listening to these tapes, then you know what I'm going to do. Being a perfectionist regarding it, I'm going to edit like a motherfucker. I'm going to edit to death. Given the opportunity to play the original air check or an edited version, I know the edited version is always going to be better.
Yeah. No, that tape I said I got, that was 4 hours. It was my show followed by hers continuously recorded. But I had hers on a DVD. So I had to actually go find it, put the DVD in the player, and run that running my show.
You realize it's more minutiae than we need.
Yeah, but I'm saying I had to run that instead, just like
it's,
you said.
It's still more minutiae than we need.
Yeah, but it's the same thing you're talking about, editing. Because we had separated hers out.
Yeah, but you know, but I'm no. Yeah. That's not editing. Editing as I do it is a fraction of a second here, a word there, a line there, interposing, interjecting, adding, subtracting. I'm maniacal about that.
Yeah, but you can't do that with the video at the level that I have. I mean, I could do it on the computer, but that's too
right. But you know,
much.
We're not talking anything engaged. No. Yeah, I mean, you will get to see tonight when you go home my level of video editing. I think I'm supposed to give out one CD based on last week's show. I didn't even mention it this week where I had that up. And now you gentlemen will be able to watch our gift CD that we're giving out to people that like make donations.
DVD.
Which is a DVD. Thank you. The best of commercials and promos from TV Land from essentially its first year on the air from night one through there, where I just took all this stuff and segued it together, and it's fascinating to watch. And I got stuck. I was watching another one of my in-house productions last night, a tape I put together called Please Rewind. I have to make you guys copies. It's just interestingly odd stuff. And I'll leave it at that because nobody gives a fuck. And I'll leave it at that for the overtime edition of the A Little Bit of Everything Radio Chargonzo, because I got to get you guys out of here so I can lay on the couch, watch the final episode of the Sopranos, and hopefully get myself at least 3 hours sleep so that when I go in tomorrow, I'm not as useless as I normally am on a Monday. So that be it. Last words? What?
I was just saying that's pretty useless.
Yeah.
Thank you, scumbag. Final words.
I was going to say goodnight, but I, knowing you, the second you put that video on, you're going to fall asleep on it.
Oh, no. That'll keep me awake, trust me.
Yeah, even I recorded it.
Right,
of course. Or I'm recording it. Something.
You know, it's a must-see.
I haven't really watched it since, like, the first year or two. But,
really?
But the last episode, I
have to admit,
happens.
I've watched it throughout its run.
I know.
It's had the peaks and the valleys. It's certainly not, you know, the first two seasons, what are key ones. Those are like keepers for all time. And after that, there were flashes of extreme brilliance. But, you know, it's true. Compared to most TV, even the blah episodes, even the most what you call average or mediocre of episodes, far and away exceeds what passes for dramatic television presentations on most other stations, save for, and this is for the most part, some shows on Fox, such as, of course, two of my favorites, excuse me, The Shield and Rescue Me, which are also in that pantheon of superior television shows. But The Sopranos was, and I can say that was, superior TV overall. It really was. It didn't always hit the highest of notes, but even at its worst, it was a very layered, nuanced show, which made it easy to appreciate on so many levels, even when it kind of sucked. But all things considered, hey, it was just another fucking TV show, and will I miss it? Not at all. Not to mention, if I ever find myself jonesing for any of that shit, You know, there are videos and DVDs galore here virtually every episode. So it's here, and much like everything else that's in the collection here, I probably won't get to see like 90% of it ever again.
Like you mentioned, The Shield and Rescue Me, both on FX, both cable.
Right.
They would never move those shows to broadcast TV. Could never do it because the second you looped in the audio, you screw it
all up. Well, they could. As a matter of fact, I believe, I forget which station here. Yeah, on one of the local network stations here, and obviously a slightly edited version of The Shield is on. It could be translated.
Yes,
look, The Sopranos has been playing on A&E for approximately the last year or so in edited form. Sex in the City has been playing in edited form. Right? It could be done.
South Park. Yeah. On Channel 11.
That's right. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been on Channel 11 for a while.
Yeah, but at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that's the problem.
Well, just where it belongs. Well, it's not a problem. It's something that the kiddies could do without. And then, if they're staying up until 1 in the morning, then fuck it. If you get to stay up that late, if the parents aren't watching over you, good, enjoy it. It'll give you enough appreciation to go out and get the unedited episodes. Not that there's ever been that much obscenity in the South Park episodes.
You know, get
out of here, Ron?
Just a quick aside. No, I taped this one.
This
series.
Whole last half hour has been one big quick aside.
Yeah, no, I taped this one series that had been on Showtime, but I taped a syndicated version off USA Network, and I'm watching.
The L Word? Yeah.
No. This is called Dead Like Me. He watched it, and I've seen a couple.
I like Dexter on Showtime. Good show.
Yeah, but I watched. So I'm watching the first episodes of second season, and I bought the second season, and I'm comparing them, and I'm saying they didn't just loop the audio; they reshot these scenes for syndication.
Some of them, some shows do that, and it only makes sense to do that. Yeah. I wonder how that other new show tonight. They tried to follow The Sopranos up with premiering their new series. What's it called? John from Cincinnati. Here's a show that's about a bunch of surfer dudes. Somehow, coming in the considerable wake of The Sopranos, it just doesn't sound like it's going to make it.
No.
Although the youngest surfer of the group is like really cute.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't know what
that's it, John.
Something going on.
I just don't think it's about surfing per se, though.
No, I don't.
Oh no.
But hey.
Not the guys
if you
levitated.
Get to see a bunch of girls in bikinis. It's fine. With
yeah, them. A bunch of girls in bikinis and the kid with the long blonde hair, definitely hot. All right, gotta get out.
Good night.
Gotta get out of here. The older I get, the more I want to experiment with everything. But I'm too old. See, I'm too old. Unless, of course, I do hit that Mega Millions, in which case I ever hit Mega Millions, I'm buying every boy and girl I've ever fucking wanted that is interested in making some money. And I will go happily to my fucking grave. But you know what? Here's another great truism of life that we rarely discuss. How many times, and in my case it hasn't been that many, but how many times in my life have I had those ultimate sexual experiences, meaning bedded somebody that I really wanted. Like, oh my God, I finally got the cute, slim, blonde babe, and the actual sexual experience turned out to just be average. Uh-huh. It has happened, and it's left me... And yet, you go on and on again, still trying to find that same peak, that same great moment. The orgasm, whatever, it turned out to be perfectly blah, even though, there was your dream date lying alongside you, and yet we keep going back for more. We keep looking for that ultimate lay. What is it? And once again, I think it's innate. It is written in our DNA. Yeah, phenomenally. That's enough for one night. Thanks again, folks. Enough. We'll see you all here again next week, won't we?
We hope so.
We had better. Ta-ta.